This is news from...
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to the Morning Show on WRCO Radio. We have a great topic today during this Veterans Week. Veterans Day was on Monday. Great to still be talking about that and honoring veterans today. We're talking about the Badger Honor Flight that took place recently. And in the studio, we have veterans Marlon Clark and Ruben Rogstad. We also have Ryan Nimix here. He was a guardian on the recent Badger Honor Flight that we'll talk about. And Eileen Stevens is here wearing the hat today of Badger Honor Flight. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
Good morning, Phil. Doing great. Thank you.
Wonderful. I wonder how many hats you wear because you're here with Grace and you're here with this as well.
Yep.
Well, how long have you been involved in Badger Honor Flight?
Badger Honor Flight, I started with their board of directors in January of 2019. I had attended a couple flights when I lived in the Madison area, and it was just, I knew nobody on the flight. I just heard about it and sucks you right in.
And you've been involved in how many flights then in that time?
I fly in about three or four flights a year, depending what they need for bus captains. So we rotate that job in and out.
What area do you serve for the honor flights then?
The areas that we serve in Madison, we would primarily serve veterans in Columbia, Dane, Grant, Green, Iowa, Jefferson, Lafayette, Richland, Rock, Sauk, and parts of Dodge County. So there's five hubs at Service Wisconsin.
And every one is memorable, I'm guessing. For one reason or another, isn't it?
It is. Every flight, as many flights as I've been on, every flight is new and different because you've got different veterans, you've got different stories. It's amazing. I don't know how else to explain it.
How does Badger Honor Flight operate then? Do you have to have fundraisers during the year?
Right. We are very blessed to have the fundraisers, the people in the communities that fundraise for us. Because each flight, and it depends what you're including in this, but, you know, since COVID, of course, fuel costs have gone up 116%. So that costs raise significantly the cost of a flight. But, you know, you got the buses and that. So I would just rattle off $130,000 per flight. We do six flights a year. We have great fundraisers such as clay shoots and bowling and golf. There's so many, I can't even think of them right now, but people just do fundraisers and send us the money. And it's usually those that have in some way, shape, or form participated in Honor Flight and know what it means to these veterans.
I would guess somewhere along the line there, somebody should write a book about some of the stories behind the scenes, shouldn't they?
There's a lot of stories. We have an incredible flight coordinator that, I mean, without Jody, I really don't know how things would run sometimes because, you know, she coordinates everything from stuff that happens in Madison to getting the flights confirmed to the buses to the memorials, our DC volunteers. I mean, everything just, it runs smoothly.
And from what I'm told, it's just incredible how they are escorted and treated. It's like some foreign leader or some president or something was arriving, right?
Right, we do. We treat our veterans like dignitaries. We used to have the park police when I first started with Honor Flight, where the park police would escort the buses. And, I mean, if somebody tried to cut in between those four buses, the boomerang would come around and literally push them off the road. Escort them off the road, I guess would be the better term. And then we didn't stop at stoplights. We just had the right of way to just go.
You have a couple of gentlemen in here, veterans locally. I think that probably means even more when it's somebody locally and somebody you know, Eileen.
Right, right. Yeah, that was pretty significant in October to be able to get so many local veterans on our flight. Terry Nimix was on our flight in here in studio today. Of course, we have Marlon and Ruben. We also had veterans from Lone Rock and Muscadet on this flight, so that was really nice to have.
Lots of new friends are made during that time, too, right? Yeah.
Lots of new people with the veterans and the guardians, and it's amazing.
Well, let's bring on the fellas. How about we start with Marlon? He's an old veteran of the morning show as well. So,
good morning, Phil.
Good morning. You know, you'd heard about Badger Honor Flight. Had you thought about going in the past?
No, I got to tell you a story. So I received a phone call back in either April or May, and I answered the phone. I didn't recognize, you know, the phone number came up, didn't recognize who it was. And he started off with, "Mr. Clark, you've won a free trip to Washington, D.C. And I'm like, "Oh, this is going to be a spam call." So I listened to it for about 30 seconds, and I hung up on him. Well, he called me right back, and he said, "Now, don't hang up on me. This is legit." He said, "Your daughter signed you up 3 years ago, and she never told me that she had done that." And so it was a surprise.
Had your daughter forgotten about the fact?
No, she just didn't tell me.
She just didn't tell you. Isn't that something?
She wanted to be a surprise.
Oh, my goodness.
So they had already contacted her, I guess, that morning. And she didn't hang up on him like I did.
So your first reaction was, did you drag your feet any, or are you excited to be able to be a part of it?
No, once he called me back, it's like, and then started explaining, you know, what was going to happen and what I had to do. And then it's like, oh, you get pretty excited.
I bet.
And for that opportunity to go.
You served our country in the Army then, I understand.
Yes, yes.
Sure.
U.S. Army. I went in December of 68 and was in through June of 72.
Kind of at the height of the Vietnam War, wasn't it?
Yes, but I had orders to go to Nam, but I came home on a leave for a week, went back to Fort Dix, and my orders had been changed, and six of my classmates and I went to Germany for 3 years.
Okay.
So...
You enlisted then, right?
Well, no, I got drafted.
You were drafted.
And then they had offered me computer school, so I signed up for another year.
Computers back then were a little bit different, weren't they?
A little bit different.
So then when you got out, do you remember when you got home? There was probably no fanfare or anything, was there?
Oh, no, nothing at all. And then you had to try to decide, okay, now what am I going to do? Because when you're in the service, everything is so structured. Mm-hmm. You know what you're going to do. And then you get out, and it's like, oh, now I'm on my own. Now I got to find a job.
And the rest is history, though.
And the rest is history.
You were able to find a job. Then.
Yes.
So did you meet some people on the honor flight? Did you know some other people on there?
Not really. But when we were sitting on the airplane, the people that, let's see, I had a window seat, and my daughter was sitting next to me. And the gentleman, the guardian, was they were from Beaver Dam, so we got to meet them. There were other people that we also talked to, you know, at each event or each memorial that we'd go to. One of the things that kind of impressed me was we were at the Marine Memorial, and some school kids, I assume they're probably seventh or eighth graders, came up to us. And started asking, "Oh, you're a veteran. When did you serve? Well, what branch were you in? You know, what did you do?" Just general questions. And we found out they were from Illinois, and they were on a bus trip, and they were from, I think it was Lake County. Well, then we go to another memorial, and there they are again. So they kind of followed us around.
Ah, neat.
But, yeah, that was kind of cool.
What did you expect from the flight? I mean, going into it, was it everything you expected it to be, or did some things surprise you?
I think what surprised me the most was how well organized it was. I mean, they had us just on a very strict schedule, and everything went so smoothly. I have to say thank you. I really do. It was just such an honor to go, and just such. I can't describe it.
Which thing was your favorite haunt? Because I know you got to see all of the things up close and personal, all the tributes in Washington, D.C.
Well, the two memorials that I really liked was the Marine Memorial, planting the flag on Iwo Jima. Okay, the first one we went to where we got the group picture, that one. And I think my favorite, though, was the Korean War Memorial, because there you see a squad of soldiers walking through a rice paddy. And the detail on these statues is just so intricate. It's just down to details. And I just think that was, to me, that just caught the essence of that conflict. It's like, yeah, I like that one. There were a lot of people and a lot of tears at the Vietnam Wall.
I bet.
There were a lot of tears. I really enjoyed seeing the Lincoln Monument and then looking across the water for the Washington Monument. And we were standing there by the water, and I'm going, where's Forrest Gump? I know he's here. He's got to be here somewhere. So I'm asking my daughter, where's Forrest Gump? Do you see him anywhere in this crowd of people? Because there were a crowd of people there.
Very similar to the movie, then.
Yes.
People on both sides of the water.
Yes. He's got to be here somewhere.
Also joining us in the studio today is Ruben Rogstad. Ruben, you've even brought pictures with you today.
Oh, I brought a lot of pictures. I took about 400 pictures, roughly. So anyway, back in 2018, Arvin Stolbe and I had talked about wanting to go out to Washington, D.C. on the Badger on our flight, because we was hearing something about it. But due to circumstances, we did not go. We wanted to take our wives with us, and those were not allowed and whatnot. So it got backed out. And then in late 18, my wife got extremely sick, and she was in ICU and the backup ICU for 18 days. And after that, she had to go into rehab and whatnot. So everything got backed up, and then I got her home, and a week to 10 days later, COVID hit. So it got backed off until July 29, 2022 is when I resubmitted. And this year in 2024, I was thinking about, geez, I hope they call me pretty soon. And then on June 27, 24 at 2:20 in the afternoon, Stanley Theisis called and said that I have been chosen to go to Washington, D.C. And when he said he was with the Badger Honor flight, my heart just started beating faster, and I've been so excited ever since. It has been a tremendous experience. So after that, August 10th was the Veteran and Guardian orientation in Madison. So we did that, and we was giving polo shirts and light jackets at that time. And of course, Eileen checked my son and I in, and then Tiffany did a brief interview and took some photos and whatnot and posted that on the internet. So, and again, I got the meat stand there at that place. So, then comes October 12th, the day of. I had the alarm set for 2:20 a.m., but I woke up at 1:10 a.m.
You were a little excited then, huh, Ruben?
I was definitely looking forward to it. So, and then my son, Nick, and I departed from Montfort at 2:55 a.m. We arrived in Madison's Dane County Regional Airport at 4:35. So to greet us at the door, there was honor flag members both sides of the entry. And then inside, of course, was the check-in tables and whatnot. So we checked in, was given the hat, and then we had to do the individual photo. So then after that, they had cinnamon rolls and Long Johns and coffee and juice. And
they took care of you.
Oh, really took care of us. And again, the people that's taking care of us are just all over and doing a marvelous job.
How exciting was it to go with your son, too? That had to be something
else. Yes, we were both very excited. He was almost as excited as I was that Ian asked him to be my guardian and whatnot. So we really, really enjoyed going out there. So 6 o'clock, we're boarding American Airlines, and they hand us a breakfast bag with a lot of goodies in it. And after eating the cinnamon rolls and everything, it just really, I could eat the breakfast bag. So after that, then flying into Washington, D.C., we had a time change, so 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard, and the pilot circles Washington, D.C., so my camera, I get to get some nice photos out the window, being I had a window seat, so I got some nice photos on that, and then after we got on the bus, on the way to Iwo Jima, drive through Arlington National Cemetery. And I say drive through, drive past it, and I got photos going over there. So, and excuse me, so I got many photos of the Washington Monument. You could take the photos of the Washington Monument from all kinds of angles around the city. So then, again, on the bus, Connie, our tour guide, gave us complete information on the next memorial before getting there. So after we did the group photo, we had lunch. And I can't remember who supplied the lunch. Do you remember, Connie?
Arby's. Yep.
Okay. Arby's. Fantastic lunch. So
they fed you well, it sounds like.
Oh, very well, yes. And then we walked around the Arlington grounds, viewed the changing of the guard, which was fantastic. And, again, got lots of photos of that. Visited the Lincoln Memorial. Visited the Korean War Veterans Memorial, visited the Vietnam War Veterans Wall, which Vietnam is what I was in, and when our ship blew up in 1967, we lost 153 members at that time, plus many was injured. So those was all on the wall in one group, which I got a picture of that. So
you knew some of the names on the wall, though.
I didn't really know them. They were air wing personnel. They were not ship's company. I was ship's company, and the air wing personnel is the ones that lost their lives being on the flight deck and in the berthing areas under the flight deck. So
okay.
And then also we visited the Vietnam Women's War Memorial. And then after that, we visited the World War II Veterans Memorial with the Washington Monument in the background. So then after that, we visited the Franklin Roosevelt Memorial with Eleanor. Visited Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, drove around the Jefferson Memorial, so I got several photos of that. And then from there we went up to the Air Force, which was a new war memorial. And so we got to see that and the spire. And then after that, I was able to see the Pentagon, where the airplane blew that up or went into in the repair of.
Yeah, 9/11 memorial. That's a very nice memorial there, too.
Yes. So then after that, of course, we headed back to the airport. And again, when boarding, they gave us another bag of food from Chick-fil-A to eat on the way home. So they was feeding us all day. Amazing. So we arrive home at 9:35 when we was offloading, and then they had tables set up. So the first table was the individual photo that was taken that morning that was handed out. The second table had the group photo handed to us. And the third table had the DC photo album. And then the fourth stop was at the top of the escalator. and a officer from Truex Field gave us the medallion when he shook our hand and welcomed us back home. So then getting downstairs and start walking through the gauntlet of people, I estimate must have been close to 2,000 people there.
My goodness.
So,
yeah. Were you expecting, Marlon, were you expecting that when you got back?
That was what shocked me the most, was when you come down the elevator and there are four or five deep all the way down through that concourse.
Yes.
And it's just everybody's yelling, everybody's clapping, everyone's cheering. And it's like, wow, that's a welcome home.
Mm-hmm. Yes, tremendous. And they have signs and everything. So then at 10:40, we departed the airport. We got back home a little after 12. But one thing I did forget, there was a mail call also on the way home. And I had cataract surgery this fall, so my eyes were watering. I couldn't read them on the flight. I stayed up and read them before I went to bed. And so it was like 13 minutes short of 25 hours I was up.
My goodness. And you slept well after that, then?
Yes, I did.
But this mail call, so they had notified each guardian to have friends and family and relatives do postcards or little letters or whatever, and as a surprise, because we didn't know it. Because after the meal, they shut off the lights on the plane. So I thought, okay, I'm going to be able to get some rest. Okay? And then all of a sudden, about maybe 5-10 minutes later, then all the lights on the plane came on. I'm thinking, what are they doing? What are they doing? But I will say, American Airlines really treated us well. On the plane, everything, they had banners. They had streamers. Everything was welcome veterans. So I want to then commend them also.
I wonder how you could pack any more into a day.
Really, it'd be awful difficult. However, there's still a lot out there to see. There'd be another 2 or 3 days of museums and other things to see yet. So
amazing.
One thing I wanted to show you was that on the, each of us received this placard.
Yes.
And on this little placard was your name, your branch of service, your guardian, the bus you were on, the bus code. So we were on the blue bus.
Yes.
And it also had your plane zone. So we were in zone 4, and I had plane seat 30A. So when we went through customs, all you had to show them at the airport was this identification card and your driver's license, and they would just check off your name. And I've never gone through security so fast.
It was pretty slick then.
That was slick. That was easy. And on the back of this little card, if you pulled it out, there were all the stops we made and the times. So everything is just down to clockwork.
It's unbelievable how clockwork. Got to be right on time all the time. It's like being back in the service again, isn't it? A little bit?
Well, mine was a little bit different than probably most. With the ship being blowed up and in dry dock for 9 months, I was in, can't even remember which port I was in, Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay.
So Norfolk, Virginia, and then I brought my wife down there because I was tied up, committed right to the area for 9 months, so...
When the ship blew up, I knew you served for like 4 years. Where did that happen? Was that about
that
in the middle?
That happened over in the Gulf of Tonkin.
In the Gulf, okay.
We were just launching a strike on Vietnam, and unfortunately, there was a safety pin that was pulled a little bit premature, and a missile ignited. Went into a plane ahead of it and started the whole sequence. So, again, I brought the book. It has photos of that as well. So, yes.
My goodness.
We darn near lost the ship.
Lost everyone, almost.
Almost.
So, yeah. So, among your 4 years, when did that happen then? Do you recall about what year that was when that happened?
1967, 10:52 a.m.
Wow. So that was early on. You were in the service for a couple more years after that then as well. And then when you came back, did you settle back in this area then right away?
Yes, I did. Yeah. As a matter of fact, at the time I was working at the foundry when I left, and they welcomed me back. And so I've been here ever since.
Right. Yeah. But this kind of, it kind of caps off everything, doesn't it? You get the proper welcome home and the treatment and everything.
A tremendous welcome home. And again, the volunteers, everybody was so upbeat all of the time. And yes, and the meat. Eileen, who lives right here in town, I didn't even know that until we were at the orientation, and of course Tiffany and Stanley and you know, Marlon lives here in town. Yeah, I seen him a couple times, but we never talked before.
Isn't that something? Yeah, you got new friends.
Yeah,
never too old to make new friends, right?
So Brian's dad, Terry. I knew him, and he only lives a block and a half from me, has for years, and we'll say hi when he walks up and down the street or something, but that's about the extent of it. I don't. Yeah. I did talk to him a little bit when he used to work at Boaz Lumber, if you're familiar.
Sure. Harris Lumber, back in the day.
Yes,
sure.
Back in the day.
All right. This is an awesome opportunity here, Badger Honor Flight. We'll be back with more on the morning show in just a moment. Welcome back to the morning show on WRCO Radio. We're going to talk to a guardian and share his experience as well. Ryan Nimix is here. And Ryan, what was it like to be able to escort your dad on this Badger Honor flight?
Welcome, Phil. It was quite the adventure. Going back to what Ruben was saying about when we landed in D.C., though, one thing that really stuck out to me is when we landed and we were pulling up to the terminal, the airport fire department was shooting their hoses over the plane and to create this giant rainbow that went over the whole plane. And so we got to drive through, the plane actually drove through it, through the rainbow as we were pulling up. So that was pretty neat. And just the people out in D.C., you know, just welcoming us in, and how neat that was. And it was just, everybody was treated like royalty, it seemed like. And, you know, from what I have heard, you know, from stories that, you know, especially in Vietnam, and how the people, how they were treated when everybody got back, and how awful everybody felt. You know, it felt like they were being punished more than serving their country. And so I think that for a lot of people, it was kind of a, you know, they finally got the honor that they deserved, you know, being shown all this. And as far as for my dad, you know, I've heard his stories, you know, that, and all his stuff that he has hanging on the walls, and, you know, for my whole life, you know, and what that actually, the 2 years of being on he was on an aircraft carrier in Vietnam, and just obviously what that meant to him, because of all these years, you know, that he's hung on to those stories, or, you know, no matter where we went, he would always bring up something about being in the service. And you know, and then years ago, finding out that his ship became a museum out in New York. And it's actually in a lot of movies. It's the USS Intrepid. Okay. And, you know, my parents have traveled all over the country, you know, every year, take a vacation. My whole life growing up, it was, you know, I was supposed to be in all 48 joining states before I graduated high school. You know, so I got to travel everywhere and see a lot of things. And no matter where we went, my dad would always bring up something about him being in the Navy. Or I remember one time we took a trip out to New York, and we met some guy that he was in the service with out there. And so just, you know, realizing what that meant to him, you know, like that those 2 to 4 years or however long he was really in. I know he was on the ship for 2 years, but that must have been a very important part of his life, you know, to hang on to it all these years. And then I think it was 4 years ago, my mother had told me that she signed us up for that Badger Honor flight, and I think everybody kind of just forgot about it. You know, it seemed like it's been so long, and they finally got the call earlier this year.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
And M&M Christmas trees will be open for the season on Friday, November 29th, and we'll be offering over 200 fresh-cut trees along with 500 choose-and-cut trees. Also, we'll have wreaths and roping available. Mathis Farms Auction Market in Biola is your local livestock market, serving the farmers of our area.
Looking for unbeatable rides and big savings? Check out Kawasaki at Vitesnik Power Sports. Conquer any terrain with the 2024 Kawasaki Ridge, featuring a heated and air-conditioned cab. Get the job done right with the powerful Kawasaki Mule FXT1000, or hit the road on a legendary Kawasaki Z-Bike. Right now, we are letting the good times roll and giving huge savings up to $9,000 on select Ridge models. Plus, huge discounts across the entire 2024 Kawasaki lineup. Don't miss out. Head on over to Vitesnik Power Sports in Richland Center for our fall open house, now through Saturday.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
A news update today is sponsored by Computer Connections, Y-Connect Wireless, bringing high-speed internet to rural communities, and by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies, caring for you and about you, and by BL Signs for all of your business sign needs. The forecast for today calling for a high of 53, cloudy conditions, and tonight a little cooler, 34, before tomorrow, 54 degrees. Right now in Richland Center, it is 42.
Whenever you're in Southwest Wisconsin, you're always close to someone who trusts BL Signs. From the van with a standout wrap, to the business sign that greets you before you even step out of the car, or the restaurant sign that makes you hungry the moment you see it, BL Signs is behind it. Known for delivering projects done well, on time and on budget, BL Signs of Richland Center is your trusted source for all your signage needs. Start your next project with BL Signs. Visit them online at blsignage.com.
I'm Phil Nee with news. Wisconsin's court system faces a case backlog and attorney shortage. State's Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler raised both issues during her State of the Judiciary address this week. Ziegler said some counties have actually increased their backlog. The felony backlog currently stands at about 12,000 cases, which is a slight increase from where the courts were this time last year. Ziegler said a pool of reserve judges is helping address the backlog, but a shortage of attorneys contributes to that problem, particularly in rural counties. A 2021 state bar report found seven counties with no attorneys. Ziegler said access to justice is seriously compromised when members of the public who are exercising their constitutional right to be represented by counsel with an attorney cannot obtain one. A group of Native American burial mounds was found in Milwaukee's oldest cemetery. A group of researchers from the Ho-Chunk Nation, UW-Milwaukee, Marquette University, and the State Historical Society have uncovered two burial mounds at Forest Home Cemetery. Those mounds were originally mapped in the 1800s by city planner Increase Lapham, who apparently tried to protect them in the cemetery's design, but were later sold as plots by the owners of the cemetery. Plans to preserve the mounds are now pending. A report shows a total of 765 fentanyl-related cases in 2023, up 84 from 2022. Attorney General Josh Call is asking the state legislature to invest in crime labs to improve staffing for these cases. Call says the state crime labs are essential to protecting public safety and ensuring criminal investigations and prosecutions lead to justice. The AG says DOJ has made enhancements in technology at the crime labs, which should improve the way cases are tracked. DOJ typically releases its annual report in late summer, but it was delayed until this week as the agency dealt with an audit. A new initiative is helping connect local schools and hospitals and creating new opportunities for students. Wisconsin Hospital Association Vice President of Education Lee Ann Larson says the goal is to fill the healthcare workforce pipeline while also creating a pathway for stable careers. Larson says grant money will create the chapters in high schools, which help provide students with opportunities to explore healthcare careers and experiences. 30 local hospitals and 23 high schools are taking part in the program. A beloved hippopotamus at the Milwaukee County Zoo is dead. Longtime zoo resident Patty, the river hippopotamus, was put to sleep on Sunday. Patty recently turned 55, which is considered extremely old for a hippo. Her health had been declining for some time, and she was no longer coming to eat or move from the water she used to like. Vets say Patty was suffering from severe stomach ailment. The normal lifespan of a hippo in captivity is about 35 years. It's the last of four supermoons of the year this week, Friday and Saturday, where the full moon will appear 30% brighter and look nearly 15% bigger as it moves closer than normal to Earth's orbit. You'll have to wait a while to see it look like that again until October 7th of next year. That's when we get three supermoons in a row. It'll move close and look big again on November 5th and December 4th next year. This one on Friday is also known as the Beaver Moon, because it's when beavers are most active, prepping for winter, building dams, and gathering food. Next month's full moon will be called the Cold Moon. The 97th National FFA Convention and Expo was held last month in Indianapolis, featuring many activities and events. One of the events featured was a speaking competition. Richland Center FFA alumnus Simone Sirian earned the honor to speak at the National Convention.
I have done speaking events in the past. The one that I went to Nationals for this year is a little bit different, a little bit more challenging than the other ones. So this one revolves around agricultural topics. So what happens is you go to the competition and you grab three topics. They're all agricultural based. And then from those three topics, you pick one, and then you get 30 minutes to write a 5 to 6 minute speech, depending on what you grab for that topic. And then you have 5 minutes of questioning from the judges. So how that goes is you have your districts, and then you have your sectionals, and then you have state, and then the state winner moves on to nationals. So, yep, I won state in June, and then I was able to go participate in Indianapolis.
The competition featured many high school FFA members from around the country. Simone graduated from Richland Center High School in May, but qualified to advance to national competition when she was still a senior. The topic she spoke about was to choose through the process of elimination.
So when I drew my three topics, the first two that I drew, I had no idea what they were about. They were some weird acronyms that I've never heard of. So I was like, okay, that's not going to work. And then my third topic I drew was revolving around food waste on a national scale. So basically what it was saying was like strategies to be able to eliminate food waste, or how can we reduce that at a national scale. So within my speech, I gave three strategies. How I like to set my speeches up is my introduction, and then why it's a problem, what's going on with this, why is it so important to the agricultural industry. And then I gave my three strategies, which were about consumer education, sustainable agriculture, as well as my third one being policy and regulations. And then I closed it out with my conclusion.
Congratulations to Simone Sirian on a job well done at the FFA National Convention, and best of luck in your college career.
It's internet for everyone from Y Connect Wireless. Y Connect Wireless provides high-speed internet to rural communities throughout southwest Wisconsin, with options for unlimited internet with no contract required, so you can stream all your favorites. Catch the local broadcast with a professionally installed TV antenna. Call 524-1579 today and ask how to save with bundle packages, or visit WIWC.net for details. Y Connect Wireless.
The forecast calls for a high of 53 with cloudy conditions. Tonight, a low of 34, so a bit cooler. Tomorrow, again, still mild for mid-November and a high of 54. Sunday, a mix of sun and clouds and 54 degrees. We have an east wind at 2 miles per hour currently after yesterday's high of 49, a 44-degree midnight reading. It is 42 degrees.
Attention Boscobel and Center Pharmacy patients. The 2025 Medicare D renewal period is now underway. Need help with your Medicare D drug plan? They're here to answer all your questions and guide you through the process. Let them help you find the best plan that works for you, saving you time and hassle. Because with Boscobel and Center Pharmacies, you're not just a customer, you're family. Call today to schedule your Medicare D review.
Now through December 7th, A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet has amazing deals for the whole family from Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. Buy a regular price twin or full mattress and get a free pillow cub from Pillow Cube. Perfect for teaching kids healthy sleep habits. California King adjustable base is just $150 with the purchase of a California King mattress. Buy two recliners for just $750. Purchase a Mod Max 5-piece sectional and get 25% off all home accessories. Free recliner with the purchase of a sofa and love seat. Get a Cooperite copper-infused queen mattress for only $700. These deals are while supplies last and can't be combined. Visit A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet in downtown Richland Center for details. You don't want to miss this sale.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month, so you can give your family the gift of connection.
Okay, but what about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want four free phones.
What if I gave them kitchen tools?
Four free phones.
Well, how about a cozy sweater?
Four free phones.
Maybe I'll get...
Four free phones.
Four free phones.
That's how you take a hint. Get four free phones and four lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details.
Sports Time is sponsored by Mr. G's Downtown Viroqua and in the Richland Square Shopping Center, your local source for clothes, boots, shoes, and for everything in style you need for work and play. And by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at weekend high school events and details on the Packers and Badgers getting ready for games. Looking for the best in shoes and clothing? Look no further than Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing in Richland Center. Mr. G's has it all, from stylish outfits to durable work boots. Whatever you need, Mr. G's has you covered. Visit them today at 140 Richland Square or give them a call at 647-3543. Mr. G's Shoes and Clothing, where quality meets style.
Shoes, Mr. G's.
State semifinal high school football games will be played in the area and across the state tonight. Travis Wilson of WizSports.net called it an exciting time.
Great games all around, neutral sites for this level, and, you know, getting down to the best of the best. There's only four teams left in each division, so, you know, we're down to the cream of the crop.
In Division 7 tonight, Potosi-Cassville meets Kenosha-St. Joseph at Madison Memorial High School. Division 6, Belleville, an eighth seed, will be taking on Lomira. That's at Oconomowoc. And in Division 5, Prairie du Chien will face Stratford. That's at Wisconsin Dells High School. 11-player games tonight. The 8-player state championship tomorrow pits Lena St. Thomas Aquinas against Owen Withy. Changing of the season as well, a few high school girls basketball scrimmages tomorrow as those teams get ready for the season. Hillsboro and Riverdale among the teams at Richland Center's girls basketball scrimmage tomorrow. And River Valley will travel to Oakfield for varsity and JV scrimmage, where only team members, personnel, and coaches are allowed. No fans or parents allowed for the scrimmage tomorrow at Oakfield. On the state of Wisconsin scene, head coach Luke Fickell's Wisconsin Badgers face the biggest test of the 24 football campaign when Oregon comes to town. The Ducks are the top-ranked team in the country. This will be the 20th time in a Badger history the Badger team has taken on a number one-ranked opponent. Dating back to 1942, Wisconsin is 4-15 in those games. The most recent was a victory over Ohio State in the 2010 season. The Packers get ready for the Bears on Sunday. Jaden Reed was experiencing this longtime rivalry for the first time last year.
It's a fun game to play, and honestly, just, you know, that was my first game being back at home of my NFL career. So, you know, that was a pretty fun game to be a part of. Obviously, a competitive game every time we play, especially, you know, divisional opponent.
Last night, Saquon Barkley rushed for 146 yards and two fourth-quarter touchdowns, and the Philadelphia Eagles stretched their lead in the NFC East with a 26-18 win over Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. Jalen Hurts ran for the go-ahead touchdown for Philadelphia after he was evaluated for a concussion following a hard hit in the second quarter. The Brewers have announced a new starting time for weekday games during the 2025 Major League Baseball season. The season will start with Milwaukee in Yankee Stadium for an afternoon game March 27th. That contest will be broadcast on ESPN. Regular season home games will start at 6:40 Central Time for games Monday through Thursday. In the past, start time has been 7 p.m. Friday games will start at 7:10. The Badger Volleyball team will be doing battle this weekend as they get set for more action. They took on USC this week. Also in college football and basketball action going on this weekend. Plenty of games in the WIAC as WIAC teams start their basketball campaigns as well. And that is an update on sports. I'm Phil Nee.
LS tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. The fastest growing tractor Wisconsin is LS Tractor, part of the LG group of companies. These high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors are one of the best values in compact tractors. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I...
And so that was... been excited, you know, trying to get to that, the dates for it to actually happen. And thinking, well, with a story of my life and my family's life, there's always something happening, you know, and it's like, well, hopefully nothing comes up to where we can't, you know, make the trip. But I think it was just still in awe that, you know, we're actually going to do this. And, you know, we get to Madison and that morning and just the crowds of people and just the... you know, all the guys that, you know, being in small towns, you know, you think you know everybody. And, of course, you know, I grew up a block and a half away from Reuben here, and I've always known him, and I kind of grew up with one of his sons. And, you know, never knowing his story, didn't know he was in the service at all or anything like that. And, you know, as time went on, and of course, my dad knowing everybody and always taking care of the neighborhood, thinking that they should be best friends almost, but... it's just funny being a block and a half away and them two really not. It took all these years for them to really know their stories. But just being able to sit back and watch all the veterans, everybody in red, you know, all the veterans were wearing red and all the Guardians were wearing blue. And you got to see just the amount of blue jackets all conversing and then all, you know, all the reds. It was like, you know, having a kindergarten class. You know, I felt like I needed a leash to put on my dad, you know, because it's like everybody's wearing red and you know, they all, you know, all these older guys, they all kind of look the same almost, you know, and it's like I'm always losing him and trying to find out where's my kid at, you know. And of course, I got the honor to take on another veteran that didn't have a guardian.
Oh, you did? Wow.
Yeah. And so I was in charge of him. While we were at the airport and then on the plane. And then once we got to D.C., a volunteer from D.C. then took that guardian over for the day. And then once we were done, you know, they were handed back off to me. We had to, you know, find each other and meet and make sure that, you know, they were never out of sight, you know. And so then that was, you know, I got to, you know, meet another veteran from... I think he was from Middleton, I think is where he lived, and just, you know, got to see the excitement in him, you know, just, you know, he'd never had anything like that before, and got to, so I got to hear, you know, his stories and whatnot, and so it was just, from that point on, it was like, I really felt like I wanted to do more, you know, for volunteering, just because of what it meant from what I could see, you know, and all the veterans and what it actually meant to them. And, you know, and not even knowing everybody's personal stories, but how great it was. You know, it was like, you know, a kid in a candy store. Every time we pull up to a monument, you know, and whatever it meant to that person, you could see the eyes lit up, or, yeah, you know, just the importance of what that time back then meant. And for a lot of guys that could never tell their stories or just didn't really have anybody to talk to about their experience. And to finally see, it was like a big class reunion almost, that you got to see all the veterans talk to each other and share their stories that they've never told anybody, you know, because it was really awesome.
Your dad was pretty open with you about his stories, and it sounds.
Oh yeah, I mean, he would talk about it all the time, mm-hmm, you know, and even like the letter that my mom had wrote him for on that mail call thing, and I think at that point he was kind of almost wore out. There was just so much involved throughout the whole day that I'm like trying to open him for him. I'm like, here, read this, you know, and he's like, well, he didn't understand it at first. He's like, the way he's reading it. And, you know, it didn't say who it was from. And I'm like, he didn't really understand who it was from. And he's reading it, and he's like, so she was home playing with her ponies while I was out. I'm like, you know, of what? It said something about throughout all these years, it felt like I was there with you because of all the stories and that you've told, all of them being together. And he still didn't understand who it was from. And what it meant to your son, and blah blah blah, and he still, it wasn't clicking to his head. I said, "Well, how many wives do you have?" And I said, "You know," I said, "How many sons do you have?" You know, I'm his only son, and it's like, who do you think it's from? But he was just so overwhelmed.
Well,
with
yeah,
everything. And then he had like, you know, 50 envelopes from everybody.
Sure. Oh yes.
After a full day like that too,
yeah,
you know,
and it's like he just couldn't even. You know, he just wanted to sit back and relax. He said, well, I'll read them later, you know, and this and that. But it was an awesome experience, you know. And I've been to D.C. before when I was younger. But it was, I guess, kind of totally different the way things were this time. That, you know, I actually see more and know it, and none growing up and knowing more about what everything meant, you know, as 10, 11 years old, you just look at these monuments and just think they're statues. You know, you don't really know anything about them or what,
sure,
what they represent. But, yeah, you know, going back and getting to see and learn more about it as an adult, and now knowing, you know, up until then, how important these actually were. And the Air Force Memorial being new, you know, and that was something incredible. You know, you pull up to it, and it just looked like this giant needle, this one straight needle up in the air. And as you walk up to it, it's actually three of them, and they actually branch out almost like an L shape. And you can't see that from a distance. It just looks like it's 400 feet straight up in the air. And then when you get up to it, it actually, there's three of them, and they arch over like that.
Okay.
And I laid at the base of one of them, and you look straight up at it and take pictures of it. And it was all stainless steel, and just how massive they were. And that was towards the end of the day. But, yeah, and then going back with our lunch that we got from Arby's, that the guy out there at the local Arby's, he donates all the meals.
Oh, my goodness.
To everybody. And there was, when we were out there, it was called Super Saturday, because there was, like, I think 12 other groups, like, from other states, Florida, Illinois, Michigan, Alabama, you know, so there was just group after group. And he was donating a sack lunch to every single person, not just, you know, the veterans, but also the guardians. So, I mean, I can't imagine how many meals he makes, you know, throughout the year. Yeah. For all them, and it doesn't take a single dime for any of it.
What a donation.
Yeah. But it was just very, very neat. You know, I'm so glad that I got to experience that. And of course, my dad has been talking to other people in town here that want to go on this honor flight, but they don't have anybody to go with them. So I mean, just getting the word out that, you know, that there's so many veterans in the community here that would love to go, but just feel that they can't or that they don't have anybody to go with them, so they just don't, you know, they don't sign up for it. So, you know, hopefully getting the word out that, you know, if you're a veteran and you want to go, you know, sign up for it. No matter, you know, there'll be somebody there that'll be able to go with you. So, you know, that way you don't have to miss that experience. And so, you know, when I knew of that, you know, I'm just like, well, I'm going to try to volunteer, you know, whether it's either at the airport or, you know, going out to D.C. again with somebody else, taking on, you know, a second person as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing that I'm willing to take on that responsibility just so other veterans can experience with what my dad experienced and, you know, just see the highlight, you know, in their eyes and whatnot. And it's like that reverse effect again. But having my kids, you know, and then now seeing, you know, the older generation, you know, before me.
And we appreciate you guys coming in the studio and joining us today.
Thank you.
You betcha, indeed. Eileen Stevens joining us here along with Marlon Clark and Ruben Rogstad and Ryan Nimix talking about their experience on the recent Badger Honor Flight.
Tom Mueller from Mueller Implement in Dodgeville joins us. Well, Tom, I haven't seen any snow yet. Have you?
Well, you know what? I did see some on the news in Colorado, but that's not close by. But it's nice to know it's coming eventually. But we do have some programs to encourage you to come in. Currently, our Aaron's line has up to $150 off for discounts on some of the deluxe models. And we also have a $50 attachment deal where you buy $50 worth of attachments and you get 2 years more on your warranty. So it goes from 3 to 5 years. So it's a really good program. In the past, it was been used differently, but it's a good program if you're looking at long-range owning a product that'll last 50 years. So knowing that, here at Mueller Ripman, we handle the Aaron's line, and we also handle the Husqvarna line, and Husqvarna's got a great product as well. We basically range from about $900 and up. So if you're thinking about a snowblower and or thrower, you're looking at something that's going to last 50 years. So keep that in mind. I know it's not fun to talk about, but you know, Phil, the honest truth is the heat degree days every year stays about the same within a half a degree. So if we have a very mild fall, more than likely we're going to have an extremely cold winter or an extremely cold spring. So we all have to look at the facts that things don't change from year to year that much. But we've had some awful good weather, and thank you for that, Phil. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Absolutely. See, what I always say is snow is inevitable, but the longer we can push it off, that shortens up winter, perhaps, right?
It does, except that if it's mild, you could have a very late spring. And sometimes those snows in March aren't so fun, and if they come in April, it's very frustrating for a lot of people. But neither nor. I always say be prepared, and if you've ever been thinking about a snow thrower, now's the time to do it. Along with that, our company has a great program going on right now with electric tools. Our electric brand, of course, is Husqvarna, and the homeowner items have 20% off right now. That's just unheard of. It's a great deal, and these machines are designed so you can interchange batteries and go back and forth and et cetera. And that also includes our walk-behind self-propelled mower that's electric, and that's 20% off. So that's a really good deal right now. If you've been thinking about a self-propelled mower and you want to go electric, this is one of the more commercial style. And with 20% off, it gives you a great chance to buy it. Also, our handheld blowers, we have a couple of them that have basically $70 to $80 off, and we have some chainsaws that are $80 to $120 off right now. So these are on the gas side. So keep that in mind. Husqvarna always has programs. They revert from month to month. Otherwise, our entire Husqvarna line for the balance of this year will have a standard 10% off on all items. So that makes it very easy for people to realize that we're the place to come because basically we buy in large quantities. It allows us to pass on the savings. And because we do that, we want you to come here. That 10% off is not available elsewhere. So keep that in mind as far as you're doing business with us. We want to make sure you're happy. When you come down, you're going to come into the largest showroom room probably in the area filled with lawnmowers, 29 different models, and, of course, a lot of other things. We are in the lawnmower business, and we're also in the rental business. So everything's inside. We have all together with all of our space and everything, we have about 27,000 square feet. So you don't have to be out in the cold to look at things. You can come right inside the door. Phil, we're not hard to find. We're here at Dodgeville, Wisconsin at 4948 Highway YZ. Right across the Midwest Roofing, and of course those little guys, Farm and Fleet, their lights were on this morning, so another day. So we'll hope they stay there for a while. We're open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, 8 to noon on Saturday. If you go to www.MuellerRental.com, that's our internet site, you'll see not only our specials and all the other things, but you'll see our rental rates and et cetera. So if you've never rented anything, go to our rental rates and it tells you what the charges are. Go to Craigslist on the left-hand side, punch in Mueller, and you'll have a chance to see our used. And by the way, we've got some great buys on used, and we are trading on a regular basis. We have quite a few more in just recently, so keep that in mind. But the best thing to understand that we're Aaron's, Gravely, Husqvarna, Wacker Neuson, and Landmaster, Landmaster's UTV line. Everything's on sale right now. There really is some fantastic deals, but you won't know unless you show up. So stop in and visit us. You'll find out that we're very friendly, not afraid to help you out, and we won't steer you wrong. We'll take the time and make sure you end up with the right product.
You're always swinging deals. You're a real swinger there, Tom.
Well, hopefully not the way you're thinking.